Is there any sport that you do watch? You know, a physical sport? Boxing, hockey?
Wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of East to West with Nick and Rob. My name is Rob.
And my name is Nick. Hey, Rob, is there any sport that you do watch? You know, like a physical sport? Boxing, hockey?
I like wrestling.
Wrestling? Who's your favorite wrestler?
It's the Big Show.
Captain Insano. Big Show was all right. He had a good career. What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, if that's any indication, because he's the size of two men, we're going to talk about tag team. Tag team wrestlers.
It took us only, what, 15, 16 episodes to get to wrestling? I think we're about 15, 16 too late.
I think we are too, but we're going to go with the 80s and 90s wrestlers before all these lippy, flappy, floopy, flying wrestlers they have now that weigh 142 pounds.
Hulk Hogan, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, WrestleMania, this is it. That's the list.
God.
The Real Americans? I don't even remember their name. I'm not sure what happened there.
The Clipper and the Skipper. I don't know.
All right, so tag team. So what are the rules here? Is it like our favorites or the best of all time?
Tag team rules. You have to hold the rope when you make the tag.
Absolutely.
Okay. No outside interference. No double teaming. 5 seconds on the rope.
No, steel chair. Steel chair all the way.
Tables, ladders, and chairs fight, maybe?
I do gotta dig that, yeah. You're gonna hate all three of mine, but I'm okay with it.
I probably will not hate them, but I'm gonna counteract with the real ones.
Yeah, that's pretty much. That's what I figured.
Well, you're going to have to start because I'm going to just rival every single one of your teams with one of mine.
All right. So in true Uncle Bookie fashion, I will do what he does and go 3-2-1 with my personal favorite tag teams of all time. Now, my peak in wrestling was probably like 85 to 93, 94. And then I probably hung around a little bit longer after that and then checked out basically, you know, 92 was probably my real peak there. And then I started to check out a little by little after that. So keeping that in mind, number three, my third favorite tag team of all time, it's Shawn Michaels, it's Marty Jannetty, you know, the Rockers, man, the greatest breakup in the history of mankind. That's drama, all right?
Okay, actually very good pick.
Team champs, right? As far as I remember.
They started in the AWA.
That's correct.
American Wrestling Alliance.
That is correct, yep. And I might have saw a little bit of that, but I'm clearly remembering the WWF times.
If they have won a championship, I don't know. I really couldn't tell you.
Weird thing is, like, great chemistry, really good high-flying fun moves, which is why when they broke up, I was legitimately shocked. At that time, I was still like, wrestling is kind of real, and what the fuck, Shawn Michaels?
What? You didn't like
at
him?
At the barbershop. I mean, drama at the barbershop, man. I don't know why that window was there, but man, that was rough on Marty.
If they're gonna, you know, throw someone through a window, might as well throw it through the window of a barbershop.
Somebody wheel the window over so I can throw Marty through it. All right.
That whole thing was probably a Vince McMahon thing.
I'm sure it was, yeah.
I'm going to take your Rockers, and I'm going to put them up against the original Rockers, the Rock and Roll Express.
I knew you were going to pick the Rock and Roll Express. Now, I saw the tail end of them. They made a couple comebacks also. I love that tag team. Good chemistry there also.
Robert Gibson and Ricky Morton, and believe it or not, they are still wrestling to this day.
That can't be true. They got to be like late 50s, older. They got to be older than them. 60s.
They're in their 60s. And
I don't know how I feel about this. This is like Rob Gronkowski playing football.
Ricky Morton still has all his hair. Robert Gibson, not so much. So,
are we sure it's his hair? Not that it matters.
No, it's his hair. NWA champions, tag team champions, and most recently with the resurgence of the NWA. Yes, the NWA was come back, bought out by Billy Corgan of, you know, Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins, yeah.
They had recently won the NWA tag team championships again, which I believe makes them an 8 or 9-time NWA champion.
Oh my God. It makes me like happy, good for them. Also, just a little sad inside.
So my Rockers versus your Rockers.
I think you win that one, but it's close. And we have the most exciting high flying moves out of that match.
That is a great match. Only can be rivaled today by the tag teams that are in the AEW. I won't mention anybody. We'll talk about that in a future episodes.
Absolutely. We're going to spend a couple episodes on wrestling. And what I would say is the Rockers with the high flying stuff, I think they set the tone for things to come. You know, they laid down the breadcrumbs. Other people took it and obviously took it even further. So the one thing I would say about the Rockers, just to backtrack for one moment, moment, you looking back on the color schemes of the late 80s, early 90s, I'm not sure what was up with all the pink, all the fluorescence. You know, maybe I would have changed the color scheme there.
1980s hair band rocker.
A lot of fluorescence.
Yeah.
A lot of neons. I'm not sure what that's all about. Okay, so my next one, my number two tag team of all time was, you know, unfortunately, both these guys have passed away and it was devastating. I remember how young it was when Davey Boy Smith passed away. I love the mascot. I love the team. I love the style of wrestling. It was a huge guy, kind of a smaller guy. I like their finishing move. You know, it was a power speed combo that I think stands the test of time. The British Bulldogs, man. Obviously, the British Bulldog, Davey Boy, went on to have a really good solo career, and the Dynamite Kid went on to do a lot of stuff, including another tag team. But for me, the original British Bulldogs got together a couple times, 83 to 90, tag team champs once. I really loved watching them. Always fun to see them. And I ended up living in England. So it turned out, like, you know, it wasn't just the tights. I like the flag, man.
Great tag team.
Davey it was a Boy good combo, right? It was like that power, big guy with like a little faster guy.
Dynamite Kid actually ended up with a neck injury. So he actually
Tom Billington, yeah. He was in a wheelchair for many, I don't know how long, but many years before he passed away. Lived much longer than Davey Boy. Davey Boy, 39 years old. Devastating. Yeah,
if you looked at him when he died, he had got bigger. So he was probably juicing at that time.
Yeah, heart attack. So you never know.
His son is wrestling right now, though, and he is a big boy. He's like 6'5", 280 pounds.
Davey Boy Smith was like, it was this weird thing because he was all chest. He was like, of his 300 pounds, 200 was his chest. Everything else was there, which made him incredibly fast for a big guy, which you really didn't see. Lex Luger years later showed up and kind of had the speed, but most of these guys are hulking. Davey Boy was very smooth, which is why I always enjoyed that tag team when it came out. So
back in the NWA days, right around when they switched over to WCW, I had actually seen Davey Boy Smith take on Big Van Vader.
Oh, that's a good match.
In a singles match, and Davey Boy Smith had Big Van Vader up in a vertical suplex, had him held him up there for what was probably 30 to 40 seconds.
Jesus, he's a big dude. If you don't remember, his headgear alone was like 300 pounds.
And he played professional football too.
Yeah, he was legit. I always liked, he great theme music too.
Leon White.
Leon White, that was his name, Big Van Vader. Yep. I don't understand why he didn't have like a longer career where he became something else or whatever. Did he go other places?
He was in Japan. He is like a god in Japan.
Is he? Early WCW before, like, I don't know, NWO and all those guys showed up.
Right. Which we'll bring up in another episode.
Yeah, we'll get
to it. We'll talk about the wars.
We'll get to Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Don't you worry.
All right. So to battle your British Bulldogs, I'm going to put up the team that changed the face of professional tag team wrestling. And they have a rule named after their name, the Fabulous Freebird.
Oh, old school.
Old school. I used to watch the Freebirds on the old Texas wrestling, USWA. And, of course, the Von Erichs were there, and Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez, those guys who all became it. But the Freebirds were the tag team to be tag teams. The only tag team that won a belt, but with three members, any three of them could wrestle with the belts, which brought up the Freebird rule.
Yeah.
So,
and I've always liked that. A lot of these, like when my next pick is going to have some of that too, you know, tag teams got wonky as time went on because it became more gimmicky, more members. You know, I know you were a big Four Horsemen guy, like these alliances that would form. Now, I think it got like kind of out of hand. That's when I started to first check out. But what I would say is like, that was cool. You know, that was the beginning of it. And that was cool.
Well, you got Michael P.S. Hayes, the leader of the band, who also sang the theme song when they had their own theme song.
Terry, I don't know if I condone that. By the way, Shawn Michaels sang his own Heartbreak Kid theme song? Not wise.
No. Buddy Roberts, best remembered for having his hair taken off during a match against the Von Erichs.
This is devastating, man. And don't go to YouTube, people. I urge you, don't go.
There was a fourth member as well during the later years, Jimmy Jam Garvin. He was the fourth Freebird. So there it is, the Freebirds versus the British Bulldogs. I'm going to say it's a gang fight. Your Bulldogs get beat down, but they end up winning that one.
I think they win. I think the Bulldogs win. I was wondering where you were going to go there. All right, I'm going to give you my number one. I know it's not popular. I am, as always, a square, as the listeners have come to find out. And this is a dynasty family. It's a family affair. It's related to the British Bulldogs. I love these guys. And before wrestling, you know, got really wonky, I really, really like the Hart Foundation. I love the logo. I like their color schemes. I like their technical style. style of wrestling, and it was another big guy with a small guy, right? It was Jim the Anvil, Neidhart, the power, Bret Hart, the technique and the speed. You know, Bret the Hitman Hart, the excellence of execution, the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. No doubt, the heart attack was a great finishing move. It was so plain. It was basically just like a, I don't know, like a clothesline power move or something, but it worked. And I always thought it was very effective. They were two-time tag team champs. Obviously, there were many iterations of the Hart Foundation. Owen Hart and Jim the Anvil came back. There's the Hart Family Dynasty, all sorts of stuff. But in terms of WWF, when I watched all the time when Jimmy Hart was the manager, they were great. I just really always liked them.
We'll go with, they were a great tag team. They were
fun to watch. Maybe, like, I think the thing with Bret the Hitman Hart was always like, he didn't have enough attitude. He didn't have enough personality. Look, I like technical wrestling, and he was cool, man. The shades were cool. He had great hair. I don't know. Worked for me.
You get the Hart Foundation. I have the team.
Easy now. Easy now.
I have the team.
You can't not say them.
I have the team that is going to destroy them and has destroyed them. The Road Warriors.
The Legion.
Known, the Legion of Doom in the WWF. They were the Road Warriors. This team was like, you would go into a bar, pick a fight, and end up in a bloody pulp. If these guys were in the bar.
Yeah, they would like bite your ear off and swallow it. Most people would spit it out.
Animal has just passed away recently.
Yeah.
So, you know, so RIP Animal.
Yeah, Jim the Anvil, I forgot to mention it, 2018, fairly recent. I remember that news breaking. It made me really sad.
Wrestling is a sad, sad business. I mean,
it is.
The newer guys now are taking care of themselves. A lot of the older guys did take care of themselves. You know, if you want to go with
Vince could have gave him better health care, let's be honest. But, you know, it's a tough industry, no doubt about that.
If you want to go like Bruiser and Crusher, used to be the AWA champions.
Yeah.
They lived to be about like 80 apiece. So, you know, they lived like long lives. They were very healthy. A lot of guys, unfortunately, you know, fell victim to the painkillers and the injuries. And
even the ones that live, I mean, they don't necessarily live great. Razor Ramon started in a tag team group as well. He looks rough, you know.
It's sad because he has tried to clean up himself a lot, but...
Yeah, DDP, you know, a guy I never really liked that much in WCW, but had a nice run there. You know, runs like a household where he tries to, you know, rehabilitate a lot of guys with addiction issues and whatnot.
And his star pupil, Jake the Snake Roberts, is on AEW.
Jake the Snake! I can't believe that.
Clean and sober and still delivering those mic skills.
We didn't talk about it, but I did review it on realwatchability.com. Shouts, Peanut Butter Falcon with Jake the Snake Roberts. Legit good performance in that movie. He's really good in it. So check that out. Peanut Butter Falcon.
Watch that movie. Wait to the end for the match, and then we'll come back and discuss that match.
The one fatal flaw. But up until that moment, unbelievable. And you know what? I'll allow it, Rob. You know, I'll allow it.
I know it was a fantasy, but come on. Anybody else you want to discuss as far as people that you liked, didn't like?
Well, I definitely would have said the Legion of Doom, no doubt about it. There's endless tag teams that I really, really liked. Mostly, I just think that, you know, wrestling was never quite the same after about the mid-90s. Once Stone Cold Steve Austin got involved, things got a little wonky for me, and I constantly complained about it. But the Rock and Roll Express, that was another one that I always liked. A little bit before my time, I know you like the Freebirds. And Demolition. Demolition, like, they never really won anything as far as I know, but they were just fun. And every time you would watch, like, Thursday morning wrestling or the Saturday night wrestling before it was, like, a big deal, before Monday Night Raw had, like, signature matches, Demolition was always around, and they were fun to watch, too. So I saw a ton of those guys.
Demolition was WWE's answer to the Road Warriors when they couldn't sign the Road Warriors.
Yeah, but they were fun. They had like high energy. You know, they definitely weren't the Road Warriors. But
and if you look at their history and you look at actually who those guys are and you go, oh, wait a second. That was him. Oh, wait, that was him. Oh, no, yeah. That was him.
Yeah. So. Also, Volkov and the Iron Sheik, who had a nice rivalry with the British Bulldogs when I was very young. I really enjoyed that. I loved rooting against the Iron Sheik. I don't know why. Not a terrible wrestler. And I always liked that rivalry also.
I was always more of a, we had the WWE up here, WWF up in this, what it used to be regions, and this used to be their region.
It was very geographic, and like that mattered to what you saw on television.
And you used to watch the old Saturday morning wrestling, and you used to have Tony Garea and Rick Martel as the tag team champion. Titans.
Rick Martel, man, great hair. Good wrestler.
So, you know, I mean, there's other guys. I mean, I'm more of a WCW, NWA kind of guy with their tag teams because I feel that they just had better tag teams and the WWE was more like a gimmicky kind of place to go.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. I'm a gimmicky guy.
And they kind of still do that today, which is kind of why their tag teams don't want to go there.
I did think they got away from it, but they went away from it so much that it was unrecognizable to me, unfortunately.
Okay, pick a tag team, none that which you have mentioned already, and I'll pick a tag team, and we'll see who we think could win the match.
Okay, I'm going to try to skew older and say the Dream Team, Greg the Hammer Valentine, with a young, somewhat goofy out of shape, but young, somewhat talented Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I'm going to put them
up
against...
They had a little run there. They were decent. Good wrestlers.
I'll put them up against... the Steiner Brothers.
Oh, Steiner Brothers were fun. You can't see it on News Channel 8, but you know what? I don't know who wins that match. I don't care. I'm entertained for 15, 20 minutes.
One element, you know, Rick Steiner coming out with the dog, the old college dog. Well, I would call him the dog because he was a dog-faced gremlin.
Now, see, those guys I could have a beer with. No problem.
Scott Steiner's a little bit wacky right now, but yeah.
Oh, you think? Yeah, you think? Scott Steiner had like that late run in WCW, but he got so big. So big. Big Papa Pump, yeah. BPP.
Yeah, you know me.
His fucking bicep was like, I don't even know. It was like a watermelon. Big Papa Pump. Well, we got problems.
let's take a turn. Let's talk about some real sports now. You ready? It's time to talk bubble talk.
Oh, ginger ale, ginger pop, ginger beer bubbles, bubble aid, bubble cola, double bubble burpa cola, and all the crazy carbonated stuff that tickles your nose.
All right. By the way, Matthew McConaughey just had a memoir come out. I really want to find the time to read it. I just read excerpts of it. Incredible stuff. That guy has lived an amazing and somewhat tortured life. So check that out. I don't know what it's called, but he just put it out there. So shout to Matt.
It's just like 50 pages of all right.
It comes with every Oldsmobile.
That's a Lincoln.
Yeah, whatever, man. Same shit. Same car. All right. So what we're talking about with baseball is a World Series that's kind of fun, right? We got classic Kershaw, a really good performance, 8 strikeouts, played very, very well. A classic Mookie Betts future Hall of Famer game. And then the Tampa Bay kind of shoots right back, has a decent game, good bullpen. I find it weird that Dave Roberts and Kevin Cash, two of the strangest baseball managers I've seen in the last at least 15 years, are head-to-head in the World Series.
It's like putting Charles Manson up against Freddy Krueger, I guess.
It's not a bad comp, actually. I'll allow it. I just think like they both do weird things. Like some of them end up working out, so I guess they get away with it. I still don't totally understand if they're going to fire Dave Roberts if he doesn't win the World Series, given the payroll, given the trades they made. But Kevin Cash, he's just like the strangest freaking manager. I don't know what statisticians tell him, but I don't think he should trust them.
They say practice for Shuto.
That said, I really like watching Tampa Bay. It's honestly hard for me not to root for the Rays, even though they have no fans. They should probably be in Vegas playing baseball here, but it's weird not to root for them, and it's fun to watch the Dodgers lose. But, you know, it's fun to watch Mookie steal a couple bases, hit a home run, have a nice series. I hope his success continues. All it did was spark the PTI guys, other sports, you know, talking heads to say the Red Sox were dumb to trade him. Look, there's two sides to that. I agree with both sides, frankly. I miss Mookie Betts greatly. I always will, probably, but I also think that trade wasn't all that bad given the circumstance.
Well, they have a player that's going to replace him, Dookie Chest.
That's Alex Verdugo's new legal name. Is that what they did?
Yeah, they changed his name.
Oh, that's good. I'll allow it.
Okay, I'm going to say this, people. If Tampa Bay Rays win the World Series, no, Tampa Bay is not title town. You do not qualify to be title town.
I was getting there. I was getting there because we have, you know, a genie in a bottle here on East to West with Nick and Rob when it comes to Tampa Bay. A great predictor of good fortune, Uncle Bookie, said Gronkowski would have a breakout game and Tampa Bay would win. And that's exactly what happened. They just rode away with that thing. So let's get to the NFL just very briefly here and talk about last week's games. I didn't think they were all that bad. You know, the NFL has kind of worn me down with the COVID stuff. We have news about the Raiders getting, I think, 4 or 5 positives within the organization. But last week's games weren't all that bad. The Falcons finally got their shit together after they fired Dan Quinn, have a nice little game, a 40-23 win against the Vikings. Interesting things in that game. Kirk Cousins sort of came to life late in that game and he needed to. But the Vikings now 1-5, the Falcons 1-5. Tell me, Rob, which one of those teams finishes with a better record?
Oh my God.
There's significant instincts there, because there's a lot of players that could be traded away. There's, you know, they've already fired one coach. Is another coach going to go? Kirk Cousins could obviously get benched at some point if he keeps playing this way. But there's so many players I like when you combine those two rosters together. It's weird that they're combined 2-10. How bad is this going to get, or is one of them going to turn it around? I guess that's the better question.
I don't know. 1-5 each. Okay, so they could probably win 8 more games if they're lucky. I'm going to say that let's go with the elephant in the room. The Giants could possibly win the NFC East with a losing record.
Hey, check the highlights on Thursday Night Football. Danny Dimes, a great run. It was like a 40-yard run. He just got tired and collapsed on the ground. It's a great highlight.
I saw it earlier when he threw a pass to the guy that used to play for the Seahawks.
Yeah, right. There's things I like about him. I hope he gets it together. Let's go to another 1-5 team. The Texans at 1-5, playing a fun game. I got to watch like the last two quarters basically consistently because our game was so crappy. Titans come back again. It's 36-42 Titans. Titans are now 5-0. The Texans are 1-5 with Romeo Crennel. I don't know what to take away from this. How good are the Titans and how bad are the Texans?
The Titans, when you look at them on paper, are not that great of a team. However, they are
a hard roster to be jumping up and down, right?
I believe that Vrabel is the new Jedi Master.
Well, Derrick Henry, a 94-yard scamper, man, he was booking it.
He looks like a wall running down the field. He is so big.
Yeah, it's like Davy Boy Smith, right? He's got the size and the speed. It's really weird.
It's like the Road Warriors combined together running at you.
Like the Steiner brothers. All right, so let's get to what people want us to talk about. An 18-12 loss. The Broncos and the Patriots have a 2-3 record. That game was rough. Field goal city, you know, wonky interceptions. Cam didn't play that well. Nobody looked particularly well. Damian Harris didn't do very much. Philip Lindsay looked good, but the run defense, not so much. I don't know. And the Patriots, just because things have been moved around so much, is that why they look so bad? Should we be concerned here? Okay. What's going on? What's WEEI saying?
I'm not going to go with WEEI. I'm going to give you Uncle Bookie's take on this, okay? Teams need to practice.
I get that. Okay? I agree with that.
The Patriots in 2 weeks had 2 practices. Cam only made 1 of them, and that was it.
Cam still got 76 yards rushing. He threw the ball kind of poorly, got hit quite a bit. I would say my level of concern is at like a 5. I still think this team is capable of running off 3-4 wins in a row. Maybe it's not like an 11-5 year. Maybe it's a 10-6 kind of year. I still think we can kind of get there.
Don't understand it. Someone on the Broncos tested positive for COVID also. However, they only lost a half a day of training.
I will bring this up, Rob. The NFL has got, you know, the Rumorville is kicking around. I don't know if news will break before this pod breaks, but Dez Bryant being looked at by the Ravens, Antonio Brown being looked at by the Seahawks. You know, I said it last week. I probably said it 5 times now on the pod. Patriots need another receiver. You know, do you think they're going to get it? Are we going to make a trade? Are we attempting to be better? What are we doing? What's Bill doing?
I wouldn't want Antonio Brown anywhere near this team. He's a head case.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not saying those two in particular, but we definitely need a receiver.
All you have to do is watch. We'll call it, you know, before Christ, after Christ, before hit, after
hit. Is that
hit.
What we're calling it? That's great. Let's make that a segment.
Before hit, after hit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Antonio Brown was a great guy, gave interviews, wasn't crazy, didn't act like a nutbag. And then he took that huge hit in that game.
Yeah.
Hasn't been the same since.
I get it. No, he's got problems. We could not get beers together, unfortunately.
Dez Bryant
away from the game. Antonio Bryant, Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, not a bad tag team matchup for WWE. I think they can make some noise.
Yeah, we'll put them in there against the Nasty Boys, you know?
Nasty Boys. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, where they do the armpit thing, right? Not bad. Again, fluorescent colors. I don't know about that. Fluorescent confetti on their leotards. I'm not sure what was up with that. Let's talk about... yeah, right? Let's go one more game. I don't want to necessarily talk too much time. I spent too much time on it, but... The Packers got a little bit exposed by a good Buccaneers defense. 38-10 Tampa at home. Packers dropped a 4-1. Buccaneers are now 4-2. Tom Brady looks okay. Ronald Jones has a good game. And you predicted it here, driving the culture on East to West with Nick and Rob. Gronkowski, 5 receptions, 78 yards and a touch. Nice spike with the left hand, by the way, protecting that right shoulder. I thought that game was fun to watch. At least I was entertained. It was much better than the Rams-Niner game.
Yeah, good game. Aaron Rodgers looked like he...
Is he bipolar or something? Something up with that guy.
Well, his whole family doesn't like him. He doesn't speak to his family.
His brother, Looks a lot like him.
So he should stop doing that double time, double check thing with his belt and, you know, and maybe concentrate more on playing a game. Yeah, it's like he went onto the field and got busted over the head with bones from the Moondogs. That's what he looked like.
All right, so lastly, let's talk about, you know, you had as a lock of the week, and I think we should just visit it very briefly here. Chiefs at Bills. I was kind of with you, at least I was hoping I was with you. 26-17 on a weird, rainy, ugly day in Buffalo there. I don't know what happened there. Josh Allen didn't play that well, but neither did Patrick Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the big star in that game after they get Le'Veon Bell on that team. Bills are 4-2. I guess my question to you is, we know what the Chiefs are. They're 5-1. They're very good. How good are the Bills? And could like a 3-3 Dolphin team that's now starting Tua sneak up? Could the Patriots at 2-3 sneak up on them? I'm not sure. Are the Bills really good? I'm stifled by how they play and why they don't run the football more with running back.
In that Chiefs game, the Bills actually had a flourish where they looked like they were going to make a comeback and actually win that game.
I agree. There was a little pocket there. I agree.
Miami. We're going to talk about that with Tua Tagovailoa, whatever.
I'm telling you, Flores and Miami, that they have some good players on that team, and they don't have to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I think he did it well enough. We are 6 games into the season. Tua is clearly healthy by all standards, by everybody's measure there, and Fitzpatrick is still good, so they can sort of help each other, guide each other. I don't know. There's something about that Miami team that screams like 10-6. I think it's possible.
I don't know what Flores is doing with that. I would not start this kid. I would not throw
him into
the fire.
You think it's too soon, huh?
I think it's too soon. I mean, for Christ's sake, Mahomes didn't play his rookie year.
Yeah, but a lot of franchises just don't do that. You know, most franchises cannot help themselves.
You know, unless a devastating injury happens. The quarterback.
Fitzpatrick was playing well. I mean, they're coming off a big win. So yeah, I don't totally get that, but I'm excited to see Tua.
He's got an attitude. He's got the beard. He, you know.
Avid. He's a smart kid. 24-0 against the 0-6 Jets. Yeah, I mean, it's weird, right?
Yeah,
the Jets are... how is that coach still working, by the way? I know last week we talked about Bill O'Brien getting fired and Dan Quinn getting fired, but come on, Gase, you're still hanging around there? What's going on with that?
Maybe he made a deal with the devil.
All right. Well, that's it for the recap. That's it for Bubble Talk. You know what time it is, Rob? I've given you a couple weeks off, and I think America's been clamoring. They've been filling up the email box at easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com. They've been calling for America's favorite segment. You know what it is? Say it with me now, Uncle Bookie.
Wait a minute, my contract states that we weren't supposed to do this after week 6.
Let me take a quick look at that contract. Hang on, let me unzip. All right, yep, unnecessary calisthenics. Oh no, it's in there, fantasy football question. Nick Ezrob, fantasy football question, hit the music. Now it's time for America's favorite segment, Nick Asks Rob a fantasy football question. Devin Singletary.
Tom Brady.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
Wahoo McDaniel.
Shane Falco.
Big Ernie Ladd.
Russell Wilson.
Johnny Hecker.
Paul Crewe or Enrico Palazzo?
Dick Butkus.
And here we go, baby. Nick asked Rob a fantasy football question, America's favorite segment. Rob, real life situation, 10-team league, single quarterback. You lost Dak Prescott. You tried Andy Dalton. That obviously didn't work out. You need to replace him. You're going to make a deal. These are the 3 quarterbacks in the deal. Tell me who it is you want on your team replacing Dak. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
You want to get a piece of paper and a pencil?
My team is 5-1. So. Yeah.
My team is 3-3. That's a fair shot. That is a fair shot. But I asked the questions. All right, here we go. Real life, right? Okay, you lost Dak. You need to make a deal. You need a replacement quarterback. There are 3 guys out there on the market. Matt Ryan, Matty Ice, coming off a pretty good game. Julio's back. He's sort of weird, up and down player. I don't totally understand him. He helped me win a championship a couple years ago in fantasy football, so I do like him. Thomas Brady, you know, I've heard of him. Pretty good, right? He's not putting up amazing fantasy numbers this year, but very consistent. Probably don't have to give up a super lot to get him. And then lastly, playing a little bit better on Thursday Night Football. He's sort of up and down. Something about him that I've never liked, although he ends up being my backup on a lot of fantasy teams over the years, Carson Wentz. So you have 3 choices here. You're replacing Dak. You need a quarterback week to week. You got Matty Ice. You got Tom Brady, the GOAT, and you got Carson Wentz. Who are you going for there?
Well, honestly, Nick, I'd have to look at the schedule and see who they all are playing.
Choose wisely. Cup of a carpenter.
Look at the defenses that they're going to be playing. And
I think they're all playing Cincinnati. I got to look it up.
Well, I'm going to let you know that I'm going to say that we're going to be on to Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, Tom Brady. I'm going to shock the world and say, you are incorrect. The answer is Matty Ice, BC's own. Thanks for playing. Nick asked Rob, fantasy football question.
fun. That ice gave up a
Cut the mic. We'll fix it in post there.
He could become bad. He could win a Super Bowl. All right, everybody. You want to question us? You want to yell at us? You want to do whatever this, that, or the other thing?
Talk about demolition? Let's do that.
Yeah, you want to talk about demolition? You want to talk about the Rock and Roll Express? You want to talk about the Brainbusters or the Von Erichs?
Why did Brutus have to have that window? I don't understand. You don't need a window. You're in a studio.
You want to talk about waffles and pancakes too? Whatever.
I would like to talk about that.
Email us easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
easttowestwithnickandrob@gmail.com.
Or you can hit us up on Twitter at @NickandRobE2W. That's Nick and Rob, E, the number 2W.
Can't say it.
Also, that's our website, www.NickandRobE2W.com. Now it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Anchor.
Ignacio, they are wrestling in a sacred place.
And we are back.
What are we talking about next, Rob?
Well, you hit me with that fantasy football question, so I figured what better way to...
I mean, you want something light, something to sort of intermezzo onto something else, a different topic? We don't want to talk about your O and record?
Hey, I'm going for the top draft pick.
All right, let's wedge something in there and talk about something else.
Maybe we should talk about salads.
Let's talk about salads. I think we should.
Special on Tuesdays. Eggplant pops. Chopped salad, half price.
I mean, you know, I'd love to spend a whole segment on olives, but you just wouldn't allow it. You poo-pooed that segment. So you know what? Salads. I'll settle for salads. We're going to do something nice, something light, something fresh, maybe a side, maybe a main course. I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
and I know your salads are going to have fucking olives in them.
They're for sure. Just about every single one. One of them does not, but that's the only one. And by the way, you could add olives. There is never a rule that says you can't have olives to a salad.
People, Nick's salad is like 3 pounds of olives, two lettuce leaves, a cherry tomato.
Throw some artichokes in there.
And he covers it all in feta cheese.
All right. So salads fall into a bunch of different varieties, right? Most of the time, you don't go into a restaurant and just order a salad. You know, lunchtime, maybe it happens. Usually, if I'm having salad as a main course, I want some steak or chicken or something on top. Chicken Caesar, for example. But I like my salads as a side or as sort of like a starter for dinner. And in that case, my favorite starter salad, if I'm having steak, it's so light, you don't want to fill up, you don't want to eat a bunch of bread. Have yourself a pleasant wedge salad. It's lovely.
A nice wedge salad, please. Do you have blue cheese on that too?
Take the iceberg lettuce, you know, quarter it essentially, little bacon, little tomato. You know, you can have blue cheese. I don't do blue cheese a ton, but they tend to do blue cheese with the wedge. I like a nice balsamic on my wedge. Wedge also.
Yeah, so that chef that creates that salad really has a hard job just cutting that lettuce into four quarters.
You know what, though? I'll say this, right? It seems classy because it's a popular salad at a fancy steakhouse, but you can make it in about 3 seconds. You wake up in the middle of the night, don't make yourself a ham and baby Swiss sandwich. Make yourself a wedge salad. It's lovely and so, so light.
Discussion goes on. I will have a question for you at the end of it, so just be ready for it.
My answer is Matt Ryan.
So just be ready for the question, okay?
All right. All right.
So, you like a nice wedge salad. All right. I love salads. I love them as a meal. I love them because it's a vessel to put a lot of things in it. So one of my favorite salads right now to have is actually a Cobb salad with chicken.
Yeah, and I like a Cobb salad. Tell me what's in your Cobb salad, because I don't always love like mushrooms and the egg. I stopped liking egg in my salad, but the two different meats is really good. So if you go ham and chicken or ham and turkey, I tend to like that quite a bit.
Well, I like the chicken. I don't put ham in it. I do have the egg. I have avocado in there.
Are you a blue cheese crumble person? That's, I don't know if it's typical, but it's like 50-50 on a Cobb.
A blue cheese crumble. We make our own blue cheese dressing. So
very nice. Excuse me.
That's right.
In the bookie house, told we make our own dressing.
That's right. Pays when you have two people that know how to cook.
Yeah.
So I like that. You know what? The nice lettuce and the dill and the...
Can I ask you just a couple questions? How about the avocado in your Cobb salad? Yay or nay?
I love it.
Okay.
I love avocados anyway.
It took me a while to get there, but I agree with you.
I love alligator eggs. I mean, so...
So does the goat.
Yeah, but I like mushrooms too, and he don't.
I'm not a mushroom guy, but you know what? I don't pick them out or anything. If they're in there, I'll eat them.
So ladies and gentlemen, Nick is stating that he is not a mushroom guy, which means he is not a fun guy. So.
No, absolutely not. No, I never said that. I mean, Phil Collins, Tom Brady, we're not fun.
No, not at all.
Demolition over LOD? No, we're not having fun.
So you like your wedge. You start off with your wedge. Okay, yeah. What's next?
And by the way, I like a Cobb salad too. And, you know, for me, that's a salad that, like, basically because there's so much stuff in there, I akin most of the salads I make at home when I just throw throw stuff in there to a Cobb salad or possibly a chef salad. Difference being that maybe I want more like spinach greens and things in my chef salad than a Cobb salad. But that's not my next pick. My next pick is a little bit off the radar. I don't think I liked it till I got to the West Coast. And I will actually have this as a meal, believe it or not. I like a caprese salad. I like it nice and full, right? Big, thick cuts of the mozz, nice, beautiful cuts of the fresh tomato, the fresh basil. I want some balsamic. I want a little salt and pepper, actually, both of those on there. And I can drink balsamic like it's soda. So drench that shit on there. And I have it as a salad. Actually, in the recent years, I've had it as a sandwich also. You stuff all that into, you know, a nice baguette and you have yourself a good caprese sandwich.
So do you like to drown your vegetables in the dressing?
You know,
or do you like to lightly toss it? Because I mean, I have a thing with people overdress their salads and then have them at a party or whatever, and you get it and it's like a sloppy mess.
So I'm a presentation guy, right? So, you know, you've seen some of my limited food porn. I don't have the skills that you have, but I do like presentation. So what I'll do is I put a little olive oil, a little balsamic on the plate on the bottom. Then I set it up nicely so you don't see that it's sort of sucking all that in the bottom. Then I drizzle over the top. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but that's how I roll.
That works. Another salad I like too is a nice mixed greens with the balsamic vinaigrette, figs, and a little bit of prosciutto.
Oh, figs. Interesting. With prosciutto. All right. That's an interesting salad.
Sometimes you could throw like walnuts in there, maybe some cranberries in it too.
If you're using a balsamic vinaigrette, are you a creamy balsamic or a non-creamy? I've grown to like the creamy.
No, no, no. I don't use creamy anything.
Yeah.
I have 72-year-old balsamic.
Living large. Who would have thought with an 0-6 record on Locks of the Week?
Hey, I make my money elsewhere.
Well, for me, I mean, obviously I can't let the pod go on without mentioning the Greek salad. It's a go-to. It's obviously classic, stands the test of time. I love everything about it. Even red onions, which I don't have on almost anything else except once in a while on a burger. Tomatoes, cucumber, feta, Kalamata olives, balsamic if you want. Usually it's just olive oil, salt, and pepper. I don't care. It's fantastic. And I could probably eat it as a meal, but I normally have it like at the beginning of a meal.
So let me ask you a few questions before I actually get to the big question. Do you consider these things salads? Okay. Potato salad.
I'd probably say yes. I mean, yeah, I think so. And I love potato salad when it's good anyway.
Macaroni salad.
It's a little thicker. It's a little tougher. It feels more like a pasta to me. I think potato salad's more acceptable, but yeah, I love macaroni salad, especially at a picnic. Well, what about you, Rob? Are you a potato salad as a salad or is it like a side?
It's a side. I find those things sides.
What about like a fruit salad? You don't accept that?
You mean like ambrosia, my favorite?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
We were posing this question earlier when I was going over my notes, my wife, and she said, mention ambrosia salad and see what you said. So it just proves that you're an old soul.
Look, I don't really like it, right? Because like I love mandarin oranges. Like I think there's some nuance to it. I think some people make it a little different. The problem is like marshmallows. It's hard on me. No, I can't remember the last time I've had one. I've had one before a few times, but it's got to have been a decade or so. I would never get the ingredients to make it. Is this a popular thing in the Bookie household?
No.
Okay.
Not as popular as the New Hampshire experiment with the wall-hanging fish. And I made the green lime jello.
Take
fish.
Me to the river.
We cannot forget that. The green lime
that is
jello
the stuff
fish.
Of legend. You please don't email us about that, okay? We're not answering any questions on that. Okay, let me ask you this other thing, because there are some other things that I do really like, and I haven't mentioned my favorite just yet, but tabbouleh, have you ever had that? It's very lovely. It's just very specific seasoning, very Middle Eastern, onion, tomato. I really like it, and I've had that more and more over the last few years as I go to more Mediterranean places. Very light, very nice. You can have it sort of as a regular salad or as a very lovely side.
We make that here fresh from scratch.
Great, right? I'm a big parsley guy, so I mean, you can't really put too much in anything.
So those components like that, like the chickpea salad, the bean salad.
Yeah, and I don't get, you know, East Coast, I feel like chickpeas an East Coast thing. Am I wrong about that? Because I haven't had one in years and I love that shit.
You can get them anyway. You can get them at Walmart. You can get them at Trader Joe's. So I find those things as components to another salad. I would get those as parts of a Greek salad to make the Greek salad more expansive and elevating it by adding those extra thing.
All right, let me ask you this question, because I have had this, you know, I'm a big Caesar dressing guy. You know, I'm very picky about my Caesar dressings. It is my favorite salad and has always been. I love Parmesan, especially the big, they're lean, but they're big chunks of Parmesan that I like. They're just thinly sliced, big shavings, I should say. The breadcrumbs, I'm a big breadcrumb guy. Keep it simple. I want lots of pepper, but if I'm at a restaurant and I want to start with something, if it's a steakhouse, yeah, okay, I'll get a wedge. But 9 times out of 10, if it's anything else I'm ordering, I want the Caesar salad. What's your thoughts on it?
Okay.
It's most people's favorite, and I like it a specific way.
Having been to a lot of weddings.
Yeah, right.
I like Caesar salad. I like Caesar salad as something I would make in the house.
Yeah, you would strike me as a Parmesan guy. You like the croutons.
I wouldn't put croutons in it. I find them, I know that's part of the salad. I just don't like them in it. They'll be eating my salad, all of a sudden be gnawing on a brick.
I get it. And some people would say it's too filling, but you know, I like a small Caesar salad done correctly with just a few croutons, kind of hits the spot.
The Caesar salad invented in Mexico, you know.
By the way, I don't like anchovies on anything except for Caesar dressing. I'm not sure why that is, but for some reason it just works there.
It's just natural salt, that's all.
Yeah,
that's all.
I guess so.
How do you like yours very, you know, you said you liked yours very specific.
Well, so for me, it's just big chunks of the romaine. I want them kind of big chunks, the big chunks of the Parmesan shavings, a few big croutons, and a creamy Caesar, heavy on the Worcestershire, heavy on the anchovies, and lots of pepper. We can close the book on salads.
No, you gave we're not done yet. We're not done yet.
Oh, we're not done. Okay.
We're not done yet, Nick. You have to answer this question.
It was a 1-2 count and then a leg kick.
I was going to sweep the leg and then I pulled back because I have to get this question in.
I was
going to
do the sharpshooter. You wiggled out.
When it comes to salads, do you like your salad tossed?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't, America? If you can get it, come on, people, go for it.
Nick loves a salad tossed.
We're making news this week.
Well, that concludes our food segment this week. Hope we left you with an appetite, America.
Absolutely. Everybody's hungry now.
You know what we need to do, Nick? Now we got everybody like going, what the hell? I think it's time that we place our bets.
Now, folks, it's time for who do you trust? Hubba, hubba, hubba. Money, money, money. Who do you trust?
What's a casino? People got to win sometimes.
Money, money, money.
You just cost me $6,000.
But nothing's predictable in this tough, harsh, highly competitive world where today's champion is tomorrow's crocodile shit.
All right, place your bets. Here we go. Last week, we didn't do too bad. Like we mentioned before, Uncle Bookie nailed that Tampa Bay pick. We've got a few interesting games this week. I'd say this is the better week of the last maybe two or three. Some good games coming up. I want to open with a game that I think the line is somewhat interesting. It's a 4:25 game here on the West Coast. So the late game on Sunday, San Francisco at New England. Now, Vegas has a weird line here. I would have guessed it to be New England -3, maybe because we didn't fare so well against the Broncos, and maybe because San Francisco is starting to get somewhat healthy again. George Kittle back, Jimmy G, handsome Jimmy back. It's actually New England -2 with an over under 43.5. What's your thoughts on that game? Kind of a hard game to bet on again.
Well, the people in New England are going to go crazy because Jimmy G is back. Not for the Patriots.
Is he going to get a warm reception?
I, you know what? I have a feeling that that crowd's going to go crazy.
Wow.
It's all going to come down to how many days the Patriots have had to practice.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Yep. If something else breaks.
This week, it actually looks like they actually had some time to practice.
Stephon Gilmore needs to stop watching hockey and get out there on the practice squad.
I'm going to say that I'm going to pick the 49ers in this game. I know. I never bet against the boys. But I'm doing this
more news. Tossing salads, we're taking the Niners. Yeah, I would say, look, the Niners, certainly with Kittle back, look like a different team. Debo Samuel also. Jimmy G's played okay. You know, can he stay healthy is always the big question. I still think they're going to be all right. I probably, with you, Rob, I would take the Niners to cover, stay away from the over-under. Probably goes under, frankly. San Francisco could rip a few off. I'm obviously rooting for the Patriots. I hope I'm wrong on this pick.
It's strategic. I always try to go against the guys that used to play here to see if I can get an win out of the team.
That makes sense.
life.
All right. So again, we're going to circle back to Tampa Bay and talk about this Tampa Bay Las Vegas game. This line was a little bit odd to me. Most places in Vegas have Tampa or Tampa -4 with the over under around 53.5. Now, Vegas has shown signs of life. The fucking Las Vegas Raiders. Again, beautiful stadium. We're going to see it on TV. I think that they can compete with Tampa. Tampa got a big win. I'm not sure that they're good for back-to-back games here. But I do think a lot of points will be scored. I'm interested to see Josh Jacobs again. So Tampa -4, over under 53.5. What's your thoughts on that one, Rob?
I'm going to go with the Bucks on this game.
Me too.
2 weeks in a row.
Me too. Going to be a tough cover, I think, but I think they'll get there.
They're going to play the Death Star.
And it's a beautiful stadium. Looks great on TV in front of the Strip.
The good thing about playing in the Death Star now is that there'll be no fans in there. And we all know that Raiders fans are crazy. Raiders fans dress like the Road Warriors.
They do. Yep, they do. Thank God they can only tailgate in the front. All right, let's cover one more game. You know, I think that this game is somewhat relevant. Carolina at New Orleans. Over-under being 51.5. New Orleans -7.5. We think this is finally the return of Michael Thomas here. I know you're a New Orleans guy. I kind of like Carolina. I know they've had a bit of an up and down year. I have a funny feeling Carolina can cover. Do you think that's crazy?
I have a feeling they could cover it also. And I'm going to go with James Taylor and say, I'm going to Carolina.
Saw James Taylor in concert in 2019. Didn't know it'd be the last year of concerts ever. Incredibly funny in person, by the way.
Yeah, that's it. No more concerts ever, people. You're going to have to listen to the podcast, and that's it.
Yeah, that's right. You're stuck with us. You're welcome.
That's it for Place Your Bets. Now it's like Fabio's hair. It's time for Locks of the Week.
First prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
All right, locks of the week. If you are betting with Nikki the Greek, you are 3-3. If you are betting with Uncle Bookie, you are 0-6. If you are with the Phantom, who I believe is making a comeback this week, you are 6-8-1. So not our best year overall in a wonky COVID NFL year. We got a couple of games on the docket this week. Seattle at Arizona. Seattle -3.5, over under 56. I think that might be the game of the week. I think it's fun. Kyler Murray is unbelievable. Russell Wilson, we already know. He's the golden child. I have a funny feeling Arizona can cover. Call me crazy.
I'm going to call you crazy and say that Seattle is going to come out and destroy the Cardinals.
You probably are right. I don't know that I'm going to lock that in necessarily. The other game we have, it's actually, I don't think it's entirely bad. Big swing in Nick Foles with the Chicago Bears at the LA Rams, over under being around 45 at most places. Rams -6. Call me crazy again. I kind of think Chicago can cover the 6. I like the over in that game as well.
I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to go with the Rams in this game.
Cover the 6, you think so?
I'm going to go for the 0-7 record, baby.
So for me, I'm going to lock in that Chicago game with the over 45. I'm going to continue going over unders with these locks here and try to get myself back over 500. What are you locking up, Rob?
I'm going to lock up the Rams.
-6.
Yep, and the Phantom has a pick in.
Phantom's back. Shows up whenever they want.
That's right. They show up whenever they want. And the Phantom actually has 2 games that they're going to try to lock up. The Phantom really likes the Buccaneers and is picking the Bucs.
I'm with the Phantom on this one. I like it. Welcome back, Phantom.
And the Phantom really likes the Bears. And is picking the Bears.
I'm almost tempted to go with them and pick at least Bears probably +6 or Bears money line even, but I just can't quite get there. I do think the over in that game for sure, though.
So there it is, folks. Those are the locks of the week.
Lock it up.
Fuck you. That's my name.
All right, my man, Nick, you have any recommendations?
I didn't catch a whole lot this week. Busy week for me, but I did make the time to venture into the streaming tubes of HBO Max and watch one of my, if not my favorite TV show of all time, The West Wing Reunion. It was called West Wing Special Benefit to When We All Vote, 2 weeks in a row of begging Americans, begging listeners to go and vote. That is your democratic duty. That is your civic duty. If you like The West Wing, if you like stage stuff, it's very good. It's almost like what you saw on Disney Plus if you watched Hamilton there. Really, really interesting. They took a season 3 episode, one of the best episodes of all time, Hartsfield Landing. They added in some special guest appearances. They recast Leo, who passed away, with Sterling K. Brown, who was amazing. Really fun. Around 55 minutes to an hour. Well worth your time on HBO Max. The West Wing Special Benefit to When We All Vote.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I got one for you, too. A show I've been watching for about 5 episodes now. It's called Filthy Rich. It's on Monday nights on Fox.
I've heard of this, yeah.
This is a Kim Cattrall show. She's producing it as well. And it stars Gerald McCraney in it. And it's about a family which, based on the Olsteins somehow.
Weird.
That's the best way I can describe it for what it started as. What it ends up as, you're going to have to tune in and watch it. So that's Monday nights on Fox. It's called Filthy Rich.
Is it an hour long or a half an hour?
It's an hour long show.
Oh, big commitment.
It's a drama soap opera for the ages.
That sounds like a Fox show.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Fox. You know, Fox viewing positions. Any shouts for this week?
Shouts always. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. We mentioned it already. The Blair Witch Project. Thought that was an excellent episode by the boys. Next week, they're doing The Ring, the original Ringu, I think is what it's called. The Japanese inspiration for the movie that came out years later. I actually think the original was better. So I'm interested to listen to that episode. Talking Flick, talkingflick.com. You can always hit up my blog, realwatchability.com, and hit me up at Twitter at realwatch.
And once again, people, if you want to get in touch with us, we are at east to west with Nick and Rob at gmail.com. And our Twitter is Nick and Rob E2W. That's Nick and Rob E, the number 2W.
E2W, Brutus Barber Beefcake.
And our website is www.nickandrobe2w.com. And
salads available.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake, do you
call me Homelander? Do you something, brother?
You think he'd be waiting for Homelander?
Yeah.
You think Brutus the Barber Beefcake would throw Homelander through a wall?
You think they were really friends in real life? They seem like they were friends in real life.
I think they're all. Brutus the Barber Beefcake actually worked for the MBTA in Boston.
Did he really? Really?
Yeah, he did.
You know, to be fair, the barbershop, terrible haircuts.
Yeah, he was not very good. I think it was the scissors he used. It's been fun. It's been nice. Peace.
Peace. Toss him.